It's a privilege to be out here tonight, and the line of revival and the fire of God seems to be kindled on each heart. And we're so happy for it, and we pray that it blesses us with the help. Now, I have been thinking of something today, and that is perhaps maybe that the ministry that the Lord has given to me has, I've tried hard to wonder why that it didn't take in America, and why the people doesn't grasp it like they should be. And it is because, of course, of the conditions and the surroundings and the teachings and so forth of the different denominational churches, some so firmly against it and others skeptic of it. And when the people come, they don't know just what to do. And I was just speaking this morning at one of the most lovely little ministerial breakfasts that I ever attended. It was in your lovely city of Lima. And I understand the man who owns the place is Christian. I wouldn't know just where it was, but it's little ladies and all were nice. And he, of course, he preached in just about 2.5 hours. So that was such a fellowship. I just can so appreciate a fellowship like that. And we had a wonderful time. And then coming home, I was wondering why does the American people, and they didn't grasp it real quick like usually overseas, and meeting after meeting until there's a potion, but just not in a massive form. For instance, in South Africa, where I see them lead a man to the platform, which they let him in a chain like a dog. And after the Lord had been those things, and I could not speak, but I could see them, and I would tell him what maybe spell to them. And so then I thought, well, why is it that I can't understand it? But in a little while, the Lord healed this boy, and then he was healing his boy, giving not only healing him physically, but mentally. And his right mind came back to him. And when the audience seen that, I made one congregational prayer, and 25,000 got healed at one time. They gave him 7 bandloads of crutches, chairs, sticks, and so forth, for this water bottle and so forth. 25,000 people estimated by not an evangelistic count. It was old Dr. Bosworth who gave the estimation when he seen them together. How they were healed at one time by one prayer. Oh, how I wish that had happened in America. But I'm wondering if it isn't that too much of we are so highly educated. I'm still Father's mind trying to down education now. But we get so educated until we educate ourselves out of the Bible. And we seem to want to know more about it than God knows himself about it. And in doing that, then we fail to find the simplicity of faith and its own act. And so I have said that if tomorrow night, if the Lord is willing, I noticed Neil and Gene, I don't think, ever had the right to help in the meetings with the getting out of the prayer card. And telling me, Billy Jr., that people were saying, I believe that I haven't been prayed for. Now, you are prayed for at least nine. Every night you're prayed for. And the mass is wrong. And I have found out too, and while we're just home folks, as we call it down south. Is your sister here on the book of home folks? Some minister told me today the latch is on the outside of the door. I said, what part of Kentucky are you from? So that was a real Kentuckian slogan. The latch is on the outside of the door. So I was amazed to hear that way up here. But you find it everywhere. But I was thinking that what has happened, and I wish you to pray for me in this respect. I feel that while I'm in America, in the United States, or that I just had these meetings like this, and I have been across the nation, back and forth every way, 10 years under every criticism that has been standing there, still she moves on. Because it's God and it will. And when I meet you at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be the same testimony and going on. The Holy Spirit's gift that has been given to us has stood the test of the years. And it's God who gives the gift. And that's why it's thankful and can't fail. But now, the American people are taught something. They want to be Jews. I don't know why they can't. They want to have hands laid on. Because you've been taught that. You've been taught that's it. And that's it. It's your faith. It's according to your faith, said the Lord Jesus, be it unto you. And I have been thinking much of this. How many has ever read the visitation of this angel last night? Have you read it in the book and heard it? Many of you have heard it in that. When he came to me, he didn't tell me to do the things that I'm doing. He told me that I have received a gift of divine healing, and I was to be sincere when I prayed for the sick. Now, a gift of healing doesn't mean that he gives you power to heal someone. It means that he gives you faith for their healing. And together, the reason a person that's being prayed for has to also have that faith, or it would never work. Never would. The individual is your own personal faith in a finished work. But now, I told you that I was uneducated. It was just a 7th grade education and was raised in a poor family, and I could not go and take this commission. But he said it was going to start a worldwide revival, and the minister in the Baptist Church, Dr. Roy Davis, who ordained me, told me I'd need something, and I had a nightmare. And he kind of made light of it, but he's preaching divine healing today. But however, he said, Billy, you better slip over home. I think you need a rest. I said, Dr. Davis, I don't appreciate that. If that's the way it is, then you can just wipe my name off, because I'm going to listen to God. But in the face of all of it, it has. That's right, it's done. And the revival fires are burning on every hill. Great signs and wonders throughout the nations everywhere. Healing campaigns going everywhere. Now, I feel that I have tried to project a divine prophetic gift and to build the faith of the people instead of using what part of gift of healing by laying hands on people. Now, a gift of healing is to be administered by laying hands. But now, a prophetic gift, and he told me that was given me, that that would make the people believe. In other words, here, that's him speaking that thing that I told you. sick, the afflicted, and the needy, the unsaved, and then come have a prayer line and pray for the people. And let, he says, if you'll be sincere when you pray, get the people to believe you, nothing will stand before the prayer. Now that's it. Tomorrow night, if the Lord willing, we're going to have the emergency now. And that is all those who want to be prayed for, just come up in the prayer line to be prayed for. You get your prayer card tomorrow from the boy in the city or when you're giving out the prayer card. The emergency night. Just come down and pray for the sick. I want to see what the Lord does tomorrow night. And Sunday night, back to the same until we get to the place of the Lord willing. I wish to have a great big tent one of these days for the American people to set up in a locality for a few weeks, 6 or 8 weeks at a time. And for then, if the people, you just get acquainted with it, and then you got to leave, you see. And then, here comes the enemy along. Right? And if you're sitting right there so they can come right to you, then it'll be different. So pray for us. And we want you to pray for us tomorrow night. The emergency night. Instead of having an emergency room, we'll have an emergency night. That's tomorrow night. Now, let us bow our heads before we open the Word. Our kindest and loving Father, tonight it's with a grateful heart that we approach Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we ask that Your great power will come upon us tonight and will touch us in the heart, that we'll be pricked at our hearts by the Thy Word. Faith cometh by hearing of the Word of God. And we pray now that You'll speak to each heart, and mine also, Lord, that through the Word of the living God, and through His Word, may we find faith for salvation for the soul and healing for the body. And may we live, if possible, to see the day that when the great ransom church of God will stand united together in the full revival with all the power of the resurrection operating to her memory. Oh, what a light it would be across the world in just a few hours' time. God, we pray for this type of healing. Hear us now, for we ask this for God's glory, asking that the Holy Spirit will take the Word and place it in every heart just for its meaning. For we ask it in the name of Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. In this blessed Word called the Bible, and in the 17th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, I wish to read for a portion tonight the Word. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain of God. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him. And behold, a voice out of the cloud that said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now for a text tonight, if it should be called that. And no matter in any kind of service, the Word should have preeminence. It should be first. And the healing life here shall never perish. But when a man is healed of his body, if he is just for a limited time, but salvation of the soul is forever. He becomes a new creature in Christ when he heals on his soul. But divine healing was included in the atonement because the new atonement was much better than the old. And the old atonement had healing. And the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions, which is right. We were healed. Have sin. We were healed. Oh, it's wonderful. Now, notice just a few moments. I want to say this before I start preaching, that the greatest need of healing tonight has the sickest body that I know of. And all the world is the body of the Lord Jesus, the church. Oh, it is horribly disfigured. It is broke up and scattered. It needs a healing. May God send the Holy Spirit in such a power so the whole body of Christ will be brought together, bound with love and unity. Until then, you will see things happen that you never thought of before. Jesus will come and it will all be over. Now, God usually meets a man, and he has on many occasions. He has met with men of few, and then he meets with large numbers. And in the council of man, God has promised to meet. Now, at one time, he met with 500. Again, he met with 70. And again, he met with 12. Then with 3, and even the 1. No matter how small the audience is, Christ will meet with you and meet your needs. That's what makes him God to me, because he humbles himself. What a contrast. Man gave him the lowest name that he could be given. Prince of the devil of Beelzebub. God gave him a name above every name that's named in earth or in heaven, that's named the earth and heaven. Man placed him as low as they could put him, even into the grave, and God exalted him above every angel, archangel, every principality. Until even he's so high that he has to look down and see heaven. That's the difference what man saw in him and what God saw in him. So the one who was the highest becomes the lowest, that he might redeem the middleman, you and I, back to the fellowship of God. So he meets in the council of man, no matter where it is or how many. If you have a need, he'll come. He crossed the stormy sea one night into the land of Galilee because one maniac was calling for him and had a need. And after meeting that maniac, the people thought they would cost him some help if they would have the revival. So they asked him to leave the land, and he always goes away when he's not well. So he turned back again to his own country. On this occasion, he had made 3 men, Peter, James, John. Now, these 3 men represent love, hope, charity. Love, John. Hope, James. I mean, and faith was the charity, and faith was Peter. That in the witness of these 3, the Bible says, in the mouth of 3 witnesses, let every word be established. And God was
picking to do something on this occasion that needed three witnesses or an established family. And oh, how he loved to establish his word. Now, there could be many angles, and I know that many fine scholars here tonight would be more capable of this job now than I. But the really, God's thought doesn't do anything just to be, as we would call it in a street expression, getting around. God speaks specifically, and every word got an eternal meaning. You get it? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And may I say this to the weakest of saints here tonight, that it might help you. When Jesus was on earth, he was at all odds with Godhead, bodily dwelt in him. He was God, tabernacled in flesh in the Son. Jesus was just not a prophet, he was God. A lady said to me some time ago, she said, "Mr. Brown, I'd love to hear you speak." And I'll say to the brethren, and if there's any off in there, I don't mean to speak against any person's religion. It's not in my heart to do that. But the lady was a Christian Science. And she said, the only thing that you put too much stress and deity on Jesus Christ. And said, you make him immortal, divine. I said, he was divine. And she said, if you be under them, you say in your meeting, and you will accept the Bible, what it says, that he wasn't divine. I said, yes, ma'am. If the Bible says he wasn't divine, then I'll believe the Bible. But I want you to give me the verse and the chapter. She said, I can furnish that. I said, let's be here. And she said, on his road to resurrect Lazarus, the Bible says, and thank God the letter standard, that he wept. And that being weeping, he could not be divine, he had to be human. Oh, I said, lady, your argument is thinner than the broth bit of a shadow chicken as far as that. You know that's wrong. I said, look, you failed to see God in Christ. I said, it is true that he wept when he went to the grave of Lazarus. He was a man weeping. But when he stood and pulled his little frail body together, threw his head close to the side, looked back, and said, Lazarus, come forth. And a man that been dead 4 days, going to keep him in again, that was more than a man. That he was a man when he came off the mountain hungry, trying to look over a tree to find food to feed his physical needs. He was a man when he did that. But when he taken five biscuits and two little pieces and fed 5,000, that was more than a man. He was a man after praying for the sick, as the Bible says. First he went out of him. He got weak, tired. And he was laying on the back of a ship. So tired and weary, so the station of the waves did not bother him. Perhaps 10,000 sailed in the sea. Where they had drowned him that night. When he was laying asleep, he was a man when he was asleep. But when he stood and put his foot on the rail, the boat looked up and said, be still, and the winds and the waves obeyed. That was more than a man. God, see me out of that flesh. He was a man, yes, but he was the God-man. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jehovah tabernacle, not me that doeth the worst, it's my Father that dwelleth in me, said the Son. He doeth the worst. In other words, in that case, the Father was the vine. He was the branch that bears the fruit of God. Now he becomes the vine, and we become the branch. And all that was in God was born into Christ. Amen. Are you ready? Here it is. It may get you. But listen, all that was in Christ was born into the church. The works that I do shall do also. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. You see? We are living under our God-given privileges that God has redeemed us to. In our picture, when he had taken these three witnesses to go up to testify something, now perhaps maybe I'm going to take it in a little different angle. It really represented the coming of Christ a second time. On the appearing of Moses and Elijah, and then Christ only. But it represents something more. And every time you read the Word of God, man who read this same chapter 2,000 years ago was inspired by it. Man who read 500 years ago was inspired by it. Just as inspiring as it is to us tonight, because it is the Word of God. If I write you a letter, it would not inspire you, but it wouldn't help to rest the Word. And as you are, the inspiration would read the letter as we go on. But God's Word is eternally, from everlasting unto everlasting. That's the reason I believe the Word. So, now, he was going to make a manifestation to show to the world what he had did. Now to the theologians and the Sunday school teachers, students of the Scripture. In the Old Testament, we find out that when a son was born into a home, well, if he becomes automatically an heir because he was born in the home. Now, many times you watch in the translation of the Bible, like in the King James, St. John 14. It says, in my Father's house is many mansions. That doesn't sound like that. In my Father's house is mansions in a house. I don't know, I believe it was in Wycliffe, it might have been Moffat. Or one of the translators says, in my Father's compartment house is many compartments. That's worse than ever. But in the original, it says, in my Father's kingdom is many palaces. Now, why was it? Even down in the days of the early translators in England, when King James Version, when the translators translated the Bible for King James, in a kingdom was called a house, and he was the father of that kingdom. And that's the way the translators put it to the view of the English people in that day. In my Father's kingdom, his house, it was called. Now in the Old Testament, when a child was born, and this is good medicine for you get the gospel. Notice, when a child was born, automatically, he became a son because he was born. A son is one begotten of. That's where the Catholic people talk about eternal sonship. How can you explain that word? How can the He was a son because he was born. Now, many of the Pentecostals and the Baptists and Presbyterians or Nazarenes, they take that as sufficient. That settles it. But it's wrong according to the Word. Now, this son being born, he was given a tutor. Paul speaks of his Galatians and so forth. Of how a tutor was a laser or a teacher that was to teach the son. And the father, being his son, he got the very best tutor, teacher, that he could find. A man that would raise the child, not according to the maybe the common ethics of teaching, but to be an obedient child. Somebody that the father had competency. Now here it is, I want you to see it. Notice what a beautiful picture that when a child is born into the kingdom of God, the Father has given us a tutor, the Holy Spirit. Not a bishop, but a Holy Spirit. A raised. And this tutor brought word to the father how the child progressed. And so does the Holy Spirit bring to the father how his church is progressing. Oh my! How he must dread to tell the father the way he came about that. What should? Oh! Confused. One sits away and one, oh, what a disgrace it is. All separated and divided, arguing and punching and disputing over little petty differences. Unbelief. Unthankful, unholy, without even natural reflection. When we should be in love with Father. Now, so as the tutor, the raiser that was selected by the Father, oh, do you see it? The Father never selected an archbishop. The Father never selected something else or some denomination, oh, as good as it is. The Father selected the Holy Spirit to be our tutor. He is to raise us. Now watch what the tutor's position. What the tutor is to do is to guide and to teach. And he'll never teach anything contrary to the school book. Amen. I hope that went into the left side of the paper. Notice, in the book, this is God's eternal Word and the Holy Spirit. He only on the Word of God. Man in the internet shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that he is out of the mouth of God. Is this? The Holy Spirit teaches on the Word. Now, that what he teaches, have faith in the Word. Believe the Word. But now, we got away from that. We believe the church. And with all respect, great programs are crossing the nation which ought not to be even on television. Saying that the Bible is nothing, it's the church. But the Bible says that every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Whosoever shall take one thing out of this book, or add one thing to it, is part will be taken from the book of life, says the Word of God. Paul says to an angel, let alone a bishop, archbishop, or whatever pope or whatever it might be, though an angel from heaven preach any other word to you than this that is already been preached, let him be unto you a curse. Galatians 1:8. You see it? So the Holy Spirit is teaching the believer the Word. And the believer is striving in sinners, he wasn't mindful of the Father's business. That child never come into position to where he should be. But if the ball was a football and was reeling up and at his father's bin, then immediately the tutor said to the father, "Oh, what a fine boy. He's a lovely chap. And he's worthy. He's watching every move for the betterment of your affairs." Are we about our Father's business or the Holy Spirit? He said, "Give every soul saved we can just on the word. Are we here in the cemetery and arguing our literary given and splitting hairs and such? No wonder we say such a lot." Now, but then the boy never become no more than just the boy around the place. But if he was a football, and was about the father's business, the tutor, the raiser, they were to the father, and then at a certain time, teacher, I'm speaking of the placing of a child, you understand what I mean? All right, the teacher, we designated until the adoption of the son through Jesus Christ. All right, notice, then the son, if he was a good boy and was very up and at it with the father's business, one day the father taking that son out into a public place and robed him in a beautiful garment and set him up before the public and had a ceremony. And he adopted his own child into his family. And in other words, he positioned, placed his son. From then on, his name was just as good on the deck as his father's was. It was the placing of a son. And God, back in the Old Testament, in the shadow of the new to come, did the same thing by his son. He taken three witnesses and took him up on the mount, which is called Mount Transfiguration. And there appeared unto them first Moses and Elijah. First Moses and Elijah. Now, Peter got all excited. And he said, "Lord, it's really good to be here. So I tell you what let's do. Let's just build three tabernacles here. And we'll have one for those who keep the law." That's what we got excited about. Those who want to keep the Sabbath and the new moons and not eat meat and so forth, we'll make a tabernacle for them. And then we'll make a tabernacle for those who believe in the prophets and the Old Testament, and we'll make one for them. And then we'll make another one for those who want to come serve you. Peter said, "I think that would be good." But Jesus was transfigured before them. God placed his son, and he robed him with the garment that glistened like the sun shining in its face, and a garment authority comes from God. Satan's message comes from God. Now we have a lot of determination, but God backs up his message. When God does it, God proves it. God stands by. The Father stood by his Son in the Old Testament. The Father stands by his Son in heaven. Whatever he says, I'll do it. See, it's what you're in him. Aren't you glad that he says you're in him? Why? Moses represented the law. No man can keep the law. There's no flesh saved by the law. The law was a condemner of the people. No one can be saved through keeping the law. No works that you can do can save it. You might do one thing, join church, baptize, forward, backward, whatever you will, that doesn't have anything to do with it. You are not saved by your works. If by grace are you saved, that is a gift of God. No man can come to me except my Father brought me first. You said, I saw after God knows you, brother, my brother. It was God speaking after you. No man can come to me except my Father brought him first. All that comes to me, there is, they are God's love gift to Christ. And you're not yours, but you belong to Christ. The Father has brought you out of the light of sin and has given you to Christ, and Christ sent the Holy Spirit to tutor you or to raise you to believe him and go by his school book. Amen. Now, amen, so be it. I believe it. I'm not amen in myself, but I like the word amen. Notice that I'm so glad that he said that. The law may save you, but what I want to hear in him, he's the only one that has salvation. He's the only one that can give me life. He's the only one that can give me healing. He's the only one that can take away my burden. He's the only one who can raise me up at the last day. That's the reason you need him. Look at Paul, the law. No man can be justified by law. Because no man ever kept it outside of Christ. Then here, Elijah, what did Elijah represent? Elijah represents the justice of God. The line of God's justice. He went up on the mountain and stepped down. And they sent a captain of 50. And he raised up. They were interfering with God's program. He said, if I be the man of God, let fire come from heaven and consume me. And there I come fire and consume. So the captain probably said to the king, said, it was just an accident, it was an act of nature. So we'll bring another captain. So they got another captain and another 50. And when he got up to where he was, he said, yes, I be a man of God. Let fire come from heaven and consume you and down come the fire. Oh my, who would want to stand under the judgment of God? I certainly don't plead for his judgment. I plead for something else, for his mercy. Don't hear Moses anymore. Your self-righteous rag won't stand anyhow. Don't plead for justice. Because you don't even have a chance. You were born in sin, shaken in iniquity, come to the world seeking life. You don't have a chance. So it's not justice that we plead for. But I'm so glad. And we looked at that dark picture. Turn this way. And they looked and they saw Jesus only. What did he stand for? The love of God. For everyone has a chance. The love of God, Jesus stood for. Hear me. Not our laws, our creeds, our affiliations, denominations, but the love of God. man today is constrained by the Holy Spirit to come and love him and serve him, or he's seeking such to do that. God is looking for somebody who will stand out on the front line with love, not with our education. I'm not trying to support my ears, but I am trying to say that it doesn't take scholarship. It takes a surrendered heart that God can make love. You don't know the Bible pages you as the devil does. So what good does it do you to someone says, I don't know this, Brother Branham, you pick up, you ought to teach it this way. I said, sir, I may not know the word very well, but I know the author real well. Not to know his word tonight, but to know him is life. To know Christ is life. Know him in a personal experience. The Lord opens up to you a look to you. My wife, the Bible is a love letter. My wife likes me, I love my mom. And she likes me a love letter. And she says, Billy, I'm sitting here with the children, I ain't so worried. And I must be put on the paper. But I love her and she loves me, and it's just a connection. I can read between them. I know what she's saying. For it's a love affair. In her word, she is projecting to me, and in the word, knowing her so well, we love each other so we can read between the lines. Oh, I am so happy that Christ said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given this from the seminary. And has received it today, such as would learn, that would learn from the mother, from the word. It's a love letter. You read between the lines. There's where you find it. It's not a law, not a fowl of a serpent, but the love of a kind heavenly Father who loves. When I leave home, my house, thank God for it, in the hour of the Lord's work I trust. And in my I leave home to go overseas, now I don't take Mrs. Branham up and say, why don't we hear, my dear lady? I'm going to tell you something. When I go overseas, thou shalt not ask any more husbands. You don't want to make any love to any other man. Thou shalt not do this and do that. Then as I give up all of her laws, then she says, just a minute, my young fellow. Thou shalt not have any other wife on your own. Thou shalt not take any other woman out to dinner. That isn't it. We don't even think of such a thing. When I get ready to leave, he was the mother of my three children. We just kneel down in the room. And we put our arms around each other. And I said to her, sweetheart, I am so happy to have a wife like you. And she said, I am so happy to be married to the servant of the Lord. I said, I know it would be lonesome, honey, all in God, but I'll be praying for you. She said, I'll be praying for you, honey, that God will use you to win souls to Him. Is that helpful to me? Then we offer our prayers to God to bless us and watch us over while we are separated one from another. And I get up, kiss her goodbye, go out the door, and henceforth get it on until I come back. I'm not scared she's going to run around. She's not scared of me go taking out any other woman. As long as we love one another like that, we only get through to each other. And as long as you love the Lord Jesus, you will do what He wants you to do, and you're blessing the heart. It's love that the world is looking for. tongues of men and angels, said Paul, I have become as a sound and bread and a deep and civil. So I have had power to do miracles to move the mountains. So he can do all these things and have not love, I am nothing. Don't judge a man because he can pray a prayer of faith for the sick and they get well. Don't judge a man because he might do some supernatural miracle as being a sainted person. But the only way that you can judge is by the love that they have for Christ and for each other. And do you see what the Holy Spirit has to bring to the Father? That we're all separated and no love for each other? The way I wanted to see a display of love. Here some time ago, as you know, I am a hunter, and I love the wilderness.
down in that lowdown. And that's what he was barking at, not the noise I was making, but the eagle was in his pine cones there. And up on the limb jumped a great big graceful bird called the eagle. I stopped and I thought, well, I know you're in that wolf call and the elk call, you're in the sunset, you're in the rainbow, you're just everywhere, but what about this? What kind of seed is this? So I watched him a little while, and I said, well, I wonder why God wants me to look at that. And all of a sudden, I noticed the big eagle wasn't a scare. God don't want cowards. God wants a man that's brave. He can't use a coward that's a run-down, afraid to testify your meaning or tell your neighbor, your boss, what God has done for you, or give praise to Christ. Shame to speak up in that hour when the trial comes, you're afraid to say that you're a Christian. God can't use you. I doubt the devil would have been able to do such as that. That's right. You are not much good for anything, then. But this eagle, I know he's being brave. And I thought I'll try out his bravery. And I said, fella, those great big gray eyes looking at me and then the pine squirrel. And I said, do you know I could shoot you? Which I wouldn't. I admire him too much. I said, do you know I could shoot you? He just kept moving his wings. And I grabbed my gun, license for the gun, jumped, and he looked at me. And he kept moving his wings. Oh, I said, thank you, Father. I see what it is. You have provided that eagle with two wings. And as long as he can feel that those wings are in condition, he knows he can beat me in the top of that bushy. He has confidence in his God-given protection. And if an eagle can have confidence in his God-given protection, what ought the church to do with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Your God-given protection and tutor. When sickness strikes or when trouble strikes, I looked at him. He knew I was admiring. And he knew he could be in the top of that bush before I could get that rifle and be out of the way. So he knew his judgment was right. And as long as he could feel those wings working all right, everything was okay. Now, as long as a Christian can feel and know that your experience in your life, and you can feel the Holy Spirit in your life, the devil can't punch you. You know where you stand. And after a while, he got tired of that little old chatter. So he just gave a great big bounce, made about two flops, and then I began weeping. As I noticed that big, graceful bird set his wings, he never flopped anymore. He just knows how to maneuver those wings, those God-given gifts that he has. He just knows how to maneuver that in the air. And he went up, 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 until he becomes just a little spot. I went out the back again, Lord. Get so tired of this little chatter. Somebody just got out of the hearing of it. I said, that's it. If the church only knew how to set their faith, their wings of faith, in the roaring powers of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and rise above this chatter. They would say the world of the church and they would go to the faith of the Holy Ghost. He was right on the planet. Right. From the Methodist to the Baptist, pop, to the Presbyterian, pop, if you're better, to the Pentecostal, and to the Assemblies, and to the Plumbers, and to the Church of God, and to the Nazarene. Don't do that. Just sanctuary. tell you also the works that I do, he that believeth on me, every work that I do shall he do also. God wants a hero. The world's looking for a hero. The world's looking for a challenger to be you. Your company is looking for a hero. I was hunting one day, I'm closing. I was hunting one day with a friend up in the North Woods, where I hunt very much. That man was a good man, but he was the most cruel-hearted person. And he liked to show off, just like many people do. Well, I'll give you to understand, huh? Doctor, so I don't care. Well, now, you don't even know your... That's all right, I know him. But he said he loved to shoot palms just to be mean. Now, it's all right if the law says you can have a palm, that's all right. Take it, be satisfied. He'd kill 8 or 10 years. Just because that I called him out for it. I used to be a game warden for many years. And I called him out. I said, first, you ought to do that. That's not right. Oh, he said, you chicken-hearted priest. So I said, all right, go ahead. But you're doing wrong. And someday it's going to come back to you. If you want a pawn, you got as much right to get the pawn as Abraham had to take the calf. But you must take one, for you must give Caesar what's Caesar. And God's what's God. But he shoots the pawn just to make me holler at him. And one year when I went up to hunt, he made an old whistle. And he could make that whistle go just like a little fawn's cry. And I said, Bert, are you going to use that? He said, oh, preacher, get next to yourself. And we were in the woods a couple days later. We come to a little opening. The snow was off of the opening was trying to come in. We're in the woods. And he said, I mean, blew this whistle. Sounded like a little fawn making us cry. And listen now closely. And when he blew the whistle, what appeared on the other side but a beautiful big doe, a mother deer. Oh, she looked so graceful. Her big brown eyes looking, her ears sticking up. And she walked out towards the clearing. Why? She was a mother. A baby had cried. Where was it? It was in trouble. A mother. A mother's love. And I watched this man pull back the lever and throw a shell into the rifle. I thought, oh, Bert, you're not going to do that. And I see him as a dead shot, raising his rifle and placing the crosshair on her heart, setting his shoulder for the recoil of the rifle. And that big doe in the gallant display of heroism walked out, tramping, looking, and she spied the hunter. I said, oh, how can you do it, Bert? She was looking for that baby. Though she knew that that rifle would take her life in a few moments, it didn't bother her. There was something in her. Her nature. She was a mother. It made any difference whether she died or not. The baby was in trouble. She was looking down the rifle there. The baby in trouble, she see the hunter and the gun raised. But where was the baby? She walked on into the open. I said, oh, God, please. Oh, don't let you do it. How can you do that? They've got to pray. I noticed the gun didn't fire. Very quick shot. I looked back, and I just saw him with his gun, and the gun there was shaking. I looked at him. He turned around, and tears was rolling down his cheeks. He laid his gun down, he grabbed it around the legs, he said, Billy, I've had enough of it. I can't do it, Billy. Pray for my sinful soul. Oh, looking for men and women who has the love of God in their hearts, who can walk in the face of death itself and call those things which are not as though they were, because God said so. The love of God in their hearts. Let's pray. While our heads is bowed, and everyone praying, please, I feel constrained at this time to do something. I'm going to ask you a real sincere question. If you're not a Christian, or you have professed Christ, and you've never made a real stab, aren't you kind of ashamed of your confession? Though you've belonged to the church for many years, but you really never have been born again. You've kind of listened to the creed of the church, you've never listened to the Holy Spirit wooing and teaching you to come to Christ. And you would like to step out tonight as a real hero and show your display of real gallant love for Christ. While your heads are bowed and you Christians are praying, I wonder if you just raise up your hand, not to me, the preacher, but to God, and say, God, tonight, in my heart, I now raise my hand. I want to be full of your love, that I can display your love to the world as an example of Christ. Take me tonight and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Forgive my sins and make me a new creature. Down on the bottom floor, would you put up your hand while every head bowed? God bless you. God bless you. You. God bless you, young lady. Over to my right. God bless you, lady. God bless you, sir. Someone else over to my left. Raise your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Brandon. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's a great thing. God bless you back there. God bless you, young man. Someone else on the bottom floors before we go into the balcony. Oh, Christ, God bless you, brother. Make me, God bless you, lady. Make me to have such divine love for you, Lord, in my heart, that I can display your love. I can stand in the face of death. I can go anywhere, testify anywhere. I want you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. Up in the balcony and now up anywhere in there, would you raise your hand? God bless you over here to my left. God bless you here in the center. God bless you up there. Up there. God bless you. Yes, over here to the right. Anybody would say, God bless you, young man. Someone else say, Brother Brandon, remember me tonight. God bless you back there, young fellow. God bless you, sir. God bless you, baby. God bless you, young lady. You little boy. Back there, young lady. Yes, God, you with me. I want you to remember me, Brother Brandon, right now. The Holy Spirit is leading in my heart and saying, oh, I want you. God bless you, sir. I want you, says the Holy Spirit, I want you to make a stand for me tonight. I want you to step right out and display your, this feeling that I give you now, that you know you're seeing and seeing me. The Holy Spirit's trying to bring you the love gift of God, and you want me to remember you. You want God to bring you in. Will you raise your hand? Someone else in heaven, fill me, O God, with your Holy Spirit. Seal me into your kingdom. God bless you. The man and woman there. Yes. The Lord bless us. God bless you, young lady, at the top of the balcony. I'm just watching God keep every hand in those every heart. God bless you. God bless you. You down there, yes. You here, God bless you, sir. Even some of this rough out of their seat and turn right around weeping. Do you know that's what we need? You have to have a breaking up before you can have a remolding. The prophet went to the potter's house. We don't need any theology now. We need love. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure. How fathomless and strong. If you shout forevermore, endure saints and angels' song. After all things are gone, love stands forever. Miracles, prophecies, teachings, and so forth, wisdom and knowledge, and tongues and interpretation, all fail to cease, but the love of God still endures. Saints and angels' song. God so loved the world. Did you so love God for loving you? God made you what you are and gives you a choice. If you want to live, you can accept it. I guess some 50 or 60 hands that went up in the village. Wants to be remembered in prayer at this time. Is there another just before closing? I feel kind of strange about it. I feel like there's someone else maybe. That would raise your hand. You say, does that mean you never? Yes, God bless you, young man. God be with you. All right. Now, as your head bowed, go to do what? Now, look. What made you raise your hand? What did that? Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draw me. First. And all that comes to me, I'll give him everlasting life and raise him up at the last day. Now I'm going to quote Jesus' word. I know we have customs. We have an altar here. We come to the altar, but we have no altar. Right where you're sitting is where God convicted you. Right where you're sitting is where God gave you the Christ. Right where you're sitting, you can receive the Holy Spirit. He's here now. Let's see what Jesus said. St. John 5:24. While you're praying, listen to his word, Jesus' word. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, everlasting life and shall never come into the judgment, but hath passed from death unto life. How simple, how sweet. The Father has made it so simple for us. Not complicated. Not educational programs. Not creeds and catechisms to learn, but to know Him by love. The Father has made it so simple. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath, present tense, eternal life. Is the Holy Spirit eternal life? Yes. And shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but pass from death unto life. Now, Heavenly Father, somehow the great Holy Spirit is moving in our midst. All through the lower floors and the upper floors about Him. Hands of men and women, some of them aged and some young, some of them middle-aged. And they are, have accepted you as their Savior and desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be taught of Him, to lead a humble life, to have the fruit of the Spirit in their life and become salty in their walk and in their life so that the world will thirst. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. And they want to be those seasoned with the Holy Spirit until men and women will say, oh, I'd like to be like he or she. I believe they're real Christians. They have the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, patience. God granted just now. May the miracle of the greatest miracles be performed by us already then. They raised their hand and they could not have done it unless they were convinced, unless you had brought them. And they raised their hand to you that they wanted to make a stand tonight for you. And I pray that the great Holy Spirit who put their name on the book of life just then will brew far and now has given them to the Father, and the Father has given to Christ. And I pray that you'll fill every heart with the Holy Ghost. And may members of the church go back to their local churches, heavenly-finding and glorifying God. Grand Lord, may the Holy Ghost come upon them, and may there be an old-fashioned revival break out in this city here and surround about the wind and in the souls throughout the nations to Christ. Grant it, Father. Do this, for you said, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. That's your promise to the believer. And tonight, as a believer, I will believe, O Jehovah God, that every soul that you let me see raise their hands of those who I did not see. I ask you, Lord, that you will take them and will nurture them and tutor them by the Holy Spirit, and may I meet them in glory someday when life's journey is finished. And the great atomic warfare is raging, fixing to break forth at any time. May they be caught up together with those who sleep in the dust of the earth and meet the Lord in the air and forever be with him. Grant it, Father, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Oh, I love him. Isn't he wonderful? How clean you feel. The Word, the washing of the water by the Word, the water of separation. And we're washed by the water of the Word and separates us from the things of the world to a consecrated life with Jesus. Oh, it's mostly almost 10 o'clock. I've been so long. But, friends, I feel that this is more profitable than anything. Salvation is gold.
Did you give out prayer?
I don't believe I'm going to use them. I just feel constrained not to. Jesus is here. And we don't need prayer cards. Prayer cards is only to keep people in line. But I believe that we have did that which was right in His sight. And I believe that the Bible teaches that He's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Does the Bible say that? And if He was here tonight, and you would ask Him to heal you, He would merely say to you and point you to His Word, He has already redeemed you from sin and sickness. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. It's a finished work He would point you to. But if the Bible says that He could be touched by the feeling of our infirmity, there was a woman once who had an infirmity and touched His garment. And she went off into the audience, and Jesus said that He got weak. The immortal Christ said He got weak. Wonder why He got weak. Strength went away from Him. It's hard to understand. It cannot be explained. Did you ever know that poets and prophets are considered neurotic? Did you ever think? Look at William Kemper. Gave America's best folk song. He's misunderstood. Every time he would go into inspiration and write a song, he'd get on a drum. Finally, after he came out under inspiration one time, he didn't know where he was that like, and he left the inspiration. He called a servant, a couple of razors, and then suicide. I stood by the side. That was Stephen Foster, I think you're calling. And William Kemper, I did stand by his grave in London, England, not long ago. And then William Kemper gave the world a great song. He wrote that famous song, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. When sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains." And when he come out, did you ever read the history of that? When he come out under that inspiration, he was carried away from when he began that song. So he got in the cab and tried to find the river to commit suicide. Consider it a riot. Jonah, after having inspiration on him to preach to a city the size of St. Louis, and they remitted to the cut of sackcloth on their animals, then when the Spirit led him, he prayed for God to take his life. Elijah stood under inspiration, called fire out of heaven, and called rain on the same day. And then when the inspiration left him, he was wandering in the wilderness for 40 days and nights, and God found him pulled back in a little cave. The angel on the pool of the water, the first man stepping in with faith, challenged that angel. The whole virtue of the angel left the water, and they had to wait for another season. A little woman touched the garment of the Lord Jesus, and Emmanuel, the fullness of God in him, and he turned and said, "Who touched me, for I got weak?" When you wonder. Now, if he is a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity, now since he's being glorified, and if our infirmities have been paid for, how will we know whether we touched him? He has to be the same. To go out into the audience and find the same. Is that right? We heard it. I believe tonight, if you will be reverent, real reverent, and will ask God, and we'll just pray, and let the Holy Spirit move into the audience, so these young Christians that just accepted Christ can see that the Christ that they accepted is not a mythical or a bunch of creeds, it's a living God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we commit this audience to thee. There's six people here. And I know that you are here, the great healer, that you've already purchased their healing. And now, Heavenly Father, as a confirmation of thy word, I pray that you will do something tonight, right here, just the way you did it before you were crucified. Like those who went to Emmaus and on their road over there, they were talking with you, they didn't recognize it. But once when you got them inside, the door is closed. You did something just like you used to do it before your crucifixion, and they recognized it was you. Do it again tonight, Father. Will you just look upon this audience and we surrender ourselves to thee and look, faith has been born and I took up my time. But I pray that you will excuse the time and will receive the people into your kingdom and to your grace. And may I who serve now be anointed for this service that's coming on, and may everyone here be anointed. And may we see the working of the hand of the living God who is in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I say this through respect. Look this way. How many people in here are sick? I don't want prayer cards. I want them to doubt prayer cards. Raise your hand. Sick, you want God to give you. Anyone doubt it, you your word says, just raise your hand. You're all totally strangers to me. Jesus, when he stood and looked at the audience, how many was never in one of my meetings but here? Just look. Dr. David, you explained before I come in the working. You understand how it's been explained, how my contentions are that Jesus Christ has raised the dead, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he looked upon the audience and found a little woman, when the Daniel come, he didn't know him, said who he was, called Peter, who he told him even his name and all of mine. Just and he said, "I don't do nothing until the Father shows me first." St. John 5:19. And I know that's true. The Son can do nothing in himself until he sees the Father do it. He perceived the thoughts, he done all of just he was God. He's raised to the dead. Now look this way, just set quiet, and pray. And say, "My, it doesn't make a difference if I touch you or you touch me, that has nothing to do with it. You touch him. I'm not the high priest, he is the high priest. That can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity." How many know that the word of God? Now, you look to him. Now, what are we? Branches. What's he?
vine. Does the vine bear fruit?
No.
The branches bear fruit. Then our hands are his hands. Our eyes are his eyes. We are to surrender our all. And if Jesus Christ will come now visibly and works outside of Satan's do what he's just done, will come and will speak and do just as he did before his crucifixion, would you believe he's raised to these here? Would you accept it, everyone? All of you in the audience with one accord, bless your heart. This is an awful challenge. But what is it? Someone said to me one time, Brother Brian, aren't you afraid? No, sir. Just as an eagle. I feel to know the Holy Spirit here, know that he called me to do this. I have not one fear. It's his word, not mine. I have nothing to do with it. It's your faith touching God. You're in the breakfast this morning as I explain that. The woman used God's gift. God used his own gift in the resurrection of Lazarus and others. But when the woman does it, she used God's gift. And this is the place you're using the Holy Spirit, God's gift. And we're set in as vines or as branches. Now look and believe. And maybe God of heaven, who someday we'll stand in his presence, may he give to me his humble servant this that I have now for his glory. In Jesus' name. So glad that the piano playing, I just believe on the Lord, and be, don't be looking to him. Be praying, saying, Lord, be merciful to me. Now, anyone knows that you read the book and so forth knows me. I'm just a man. Don't know a person in here at all. As I look over the audience, I met this Methodist preacher sitting here this morning. And I believe this is Mr. Smith sitting right here in the recorder. I know those sitting there. I know none of the rest of you. But there's someone here who knows you. And that's the high priest Christ, the theme prayer. I watch the Holy Spirit, Christ, is here. When he said, the works that I do shall you also live while in the world, that's the unbeliever, will see me no more. Yet ye shall see me. Did he say that? I, personal pronoun, will be with you, even in him, to the end of our world. Showing himself. The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What did Paul see after his resurrection? What did he look like? Alive. On his road to Damascus. He said, I came from God. Who was he? The pillar of fire, the then children of Israel. That is the Ark of the Covenant. Anyone knows that was Christ. And then he said, I come from God, the Logos. And I go back to God. And when Paul seen him, he was the Logos. That's what he is tonight. How many have ever seen the picture of him? Have they taken scientific in Houston, Texas? Got a name here in Washington, D.C. for the FBI examination. That proves both to the church and to the world. I've told the truth. Christ is alive. And he's proved it. If I die this night, and this is my last message, my words are true. The church knows it. Millions I've preached, they get direct over 10 million people around the world. They know it. And science knows it because they took a camera and set around in America and one in Germany and took a picture of it. That's science. It's in the book here. It's not a very good book. It's not mine. It's copyrighted. The American Photographer Association, Houston, Texas, knows it. I buy it. I usually have them in meetings to sell. Just what I get them for. I don't take money. I don't need money. Your little love gifts people give me once in a while to live by, and that's all I need. See you, Reverend. Keep praying. I can only say what I see. I wish that my audience, I hope you cannot judge me wrong as a servant of God and your brethren. Christ, the Holy Spirit, is here. He is present now. And is, what is this? I'm just healing myself. And you just heal yourself. And God can use us when we get ourselves out of the way if we're gifted for certain things. Like a minister preaching. I'm not a preacher. I can't preach. I'm uneducated. But my gift is to yield to the Holy Spirit. Here it is. And in Christ's name, I take every spirit under here under my control for the glory of God. I only wish you could see what I'm looking at. There is the light going over a man. He's praying. The man is saying, Lord, let it be me. He's wearing a blue and red tie. He's sitting right here. You believe me to be his servant? If God will tell me what you're wanting from God, will you accept it? You will. You have a prayer card? You don't. You got kidney trouble, but you want Christ to heal. If that's right, wave your hand back for Christ. Receive it then, in Jesus' name. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. Believe with all your heart. You believe now he's raised from the dead? Aren't you happy you received him a few moments ago? There's no other religion in the world can prove their founders are all dead and in the grave, but Christ rose. Christianity can prove right here that he's a living. When anybody says, Mohammed, the Buddha says, let me see you produce what he said, bring him to me. Something's happened in heaven, sir. What did you touch? Not me. You hear what he said? How did I know what he was praying about? I was taking
it.
God bless you,
my
friend. Have faith in God. Let's pray. Don't doubt. Isn't this wonderful? I just be real with everyone. Don't move around. Just be real. He will come again. It just looks like just you, all I know, and you can't explain God. Here it is. It's a little lady sitting to my right. Wearing a white hat. She's praying, Lord, let it be me. She's sitting right here at the side of a woman that's crippled on the end of the road. Do you believe, lady, that you've made a contact with God? Do you believe me to be his prophet? If God will tell me what you're praying for, will you be the same Christ who tell the woman at the well for her trouble was? You would believe it? You're wanting Christ to deliver you from an asthmatic condition. That's why I raise up your hand. Seems to be a man associated there somewhere. Oh, it's the lady sitting next to you? It's a woman of praying. is not for herself. The little lady with the sweater, she's praying for someone else. That's a man, isn't it? He's not here, either. It's your father. He has arthritis here. Raise up your hand if that's witness the truth. You have a prayer card, lady? You don't? Maybe you go home and find your father as you have believed. Find me. Someone here, just really pray. There you stand. Oh, if you could just see this light moving, stand over. There it is, it's a little lady, way back here towards the back. She's putting her handkerchief up to her eyes. She's got a little white hat on, a little thing on her shoulder. She's suffering with a nervous condition. And she's been in and out of hospitals. She's had operations. That's right, isn't it, lady? Stand up just a minute, lady. This is the lady right here. Yeah. Others are praying in front of you. I've never seen you, lady. We're total strangers one another. Is that right? You believe me to be his third? You believe that he died and rose again, and he's come back in the form of the Holy Spirit and performing the same works, and you touch something, I will. You were praying that I would call him. Isn't that right? And now just a moment, I can catch the vision again. Yes, I see you all upset about something. And I see, yes, it's operation. And operations is making her. That's right, isn't it? And you're not from this city, neither are you from this state. You're from Michigan. Right. And you're praying for someone else. And that I see you as years have passed back down your life. And you're holding a little baby in your arms, and the baby is blind. It was born blind. You've become a Christian. You pray for the baby. The baby has received its sight. And now it's quite a lad, and it's going blind again. And you're wanting Christ to heal that baby. And as you might know, that I'd be God's prophet, the baby looks very pale, the child does. It's real white-headed, pink, kind of, it's an albino child. That is true. And your name is Alma. Selma is your last name. That's right, isn't it? Take the handkerchief that you wipe your tears with and place it on the child. Don't doubt and receive what you ask for in Christ. Are you aware that the Holy Spirit is near? Just be aware. It seems to be like the lady sitting next to her, that light is moving over the woman. She's got her handkerchief up to her mouth. Stand up, lady. Right next to her. You were praying yourself. You believe me to be his servant? You believe that the Spirit that's on you now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Love, meekness, patience, the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are praying for a condition that's in your body called a hernia. That's right, isn't it? And I see a man appear by you, and it's dark around the man. It's your husband. He's unsaved, and you're praying for his salvation. That thus saith the law. Take the handkerchief you have in your hand, slip it under his pillow. Don't doubt, but believe. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Holy Spirit. Thou art the great I Am. We pray that you will be merciful to many here tonight. Let them know that it's you, the great Father of our spirit.
Omnipotent. He's
omnipresent. He's all around everywhere. Believe on Him now and be healed. I want you to do something for me. There it is again. Our kind of Heavenly Father, oh, to know Your presence is here now, how You are proving that You have raised from the dead, and that the Bible is God's infallible Word. You're the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. And we're so thankful for it. And You had to make a way to prove that Scripture. And tonight it has been fulfilled, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, God, how we love You. How we worship You. You are in our midst. The shout of the King is here. The great Jehovah who marches on, and time does not bother Him. He marches on through eternity. He's eternity through eternity. The everlasting I Am. The creator of heaven and earth. The author of every good gift. And whatever that is good in all heavens and earth belongs to You. Oh God, be good to these people tonight. And cast away the unbelief that's in the midst of the people. And all the superstitions, that the Holy Spirit might with one